Okay, let's dive into something really essential, I think, for anyone planning for the future.
Absolutely. We're talking retirement savings.
Right, specifically things like the 401k, maybe Roth IRAs. These tools that honestly can feel a bit like a maze sometimes.
You really can. All the jargon, the choices, it's a lot.
Yeah, and if you're looking to make smarter money decisions, for the long haul, getting your head around these accounts and, crucially, how to invest wisely inside them. Well, it's pretty much non-negotiable.
It is. And that feeling of being overwhelmed, it's common. We're looking at various guides, info sheets, stuff about investment tools.
Yeah.
They all point to this complexity. It can lead to, well, just sticking with the default or doing nothing.
Exactly. So for this deep dive, and this is really tailored for you based on interest in this area, our mission is pretty clear. We want to cut through that fog. We're digging into this material, pulling out the key insights, the really important bits to give you a clearer picture, not just what these things are, but how they actually work and, how you can get the most out of them based only on what these sources tell us.
Think of it like this. We're mapping out the territory based on these specific guides. We'll look at the mechanics, the different choices, and what they mean. Basically, what the sources say really matters for building wealth long term.
Right. Turning information into something you can actually use.
Precisely.
So where do we start? The source material points to one specific tool right off the bat, calls it incredibly powerful.
It does. Straight away, the 401k is labeled one of the most powerful retirement savings tools available.
Powerful. Why? What makes it so powerful according to these guides?
Two main things jump out from the sources. First, the tax advantages. These can make a huge difference in how much of your growth you actually keep.
Okay, tax breaks. Good start.
And second, the potential for employer matching contributions, which is, essentially free money boosting your
Yeah,
savings.
free money is always good. And the source material really emphasizes getting this right, doesn't it? It says understanding this stuff.
Yeah, it frames it as potentially the difference between a comfortable retirement and financial stress in your golden years.
Wow, that really raises the stakes. It's not just another account, it's fundamental to your future security. It's about being strategic, not just chucking money in.
Exactly. And the sources give a target number to aim for. They talk about a total retirement savings rate of 15%.
Okay, 15%. Is that just what I put in?
No, that's key. It includes both your contributions and any employer match you get. It's presented as a widely cited benchmark for, having a good shot at a comfortable retirement.
So hitting that 15% consistently means a good chunk of your income is working for you, getting those tax advantages, compounding.
That's the idea presented. Now let's talk limits, because you can't just put unlimited amounts in.
Right, there are caps. What do the sources say about how much you, the employee, can put in from your salary?
Okay, so the figures provided are specific. For 2023, the employee contribution limit was $22,500.
22.5.
And for 2024, it nudged up a bit to $23,000. That's the max you can directly funnel in from your paycheck.
Got it. But what if you're older, maybe closer to retirement? Is there anything extra?
Yes. The sources mentioned the catch-up contribution. This is for people aged 50 and over. It allows an additional $7,500 on top of the regular limit. That was for both 2023 and 2024.
So doing the math, if you were 50 plus in 2024, you could put in the $23,000 plus the $7,500 catch-up.
Exactly, totaling $30,500 from your own salary. These limits are set by the IRS, defining your personal maximum contribution.
But wait, the total amount that can end up in the account each year is even higher, right? Because the employer puts money in too.
Correct. The sources distinguish between your contribution limit and the total contribution limits. These bigger numbers include your contributions, the employer match, and potentially other employer inputs like profit sharing.
And those total limits are?
The sources give $66,000 for 2023 and $69,000 for 2024.
Wow, $69,000 total versus the $23,000 employee limit. That really shows how impactful a good employer match can be.
It really does. It highlights why getting that full match is stressed so much later on as a key strategy. And this is where tools come in handy. One source mentions online calculators, specifically a 401k calculator.
Right, to sort of model this out, what information do these calculators typically use, according to the source?
Well, the source lists things like your current age, your planned retirement age, any current 401k balance you already have.
Okay, the basics.
Then your annual salary, the percentage you contribute, the employer match percentage,
Makes sense.
and crucially, an expected annual return percentage for your investments, and maybe an expected salary increase percentage over time.
So all the moving parts that affect the outcome.
Exactly. These inputs define your specific savings journey. age sets the timeline for growth, contributions and match fuel the engine, and the return rate. That's where compounding really shows its power.
Playing with those numbers in a calculator must really illustrate things like, what if I bump my contribution by 1%? Or what if I'd started 5 years earlier?
Precisely. It makes the abstract concepts much more concrete, showing the impact of the factors the source identifies as the main drivers.
Okay, foundation laid. We know what a 401k is, the advantages, the limits, the factors influencing growth. Now, a big decision point the sources bring up, traditional versus Roth 401k.
Ah, yes, the tax fork in the road. Many employers offer both, and the choice matters.
So what's the core difference based on the comparison table in the source material?
It boils down to when the tax man gets involved. Pay taxes now or pay taxes later.
Let's start with contributions. For a traditional 401k, the source says pre-tax. What does that mean practically for my paycheck this year?
Pre-tax means the money comes out of your paycheck before federal and state income taxes are calculated. So you put in, say, $10,000, your taxable income for the year is $10,000 lower.
So less tax paid now, an immediate benefit.
Exactly. That's the draw of the traditional.
Okay. And the Roth 401k. The source says after-tax contributions.
Right. With Roth, the contribution comes out of your pay after taxes have already been taken out. You've already paid income tax on that money for the current year.
So no immediate tax break on the contribution itself.
Correct. You pay the tax up front on the money going in.
So, if the Roth doesn't give you that upfront break, what's the upside? This must come down to withdrawals in retirement. For traditional, the source says withdrawals are taxable as ordinary income.
Makes sense, right? You got the tax break going in, so you pay taxes coming out. When you withdraw from a traditional 401k in retirement, that money is treated just like regular income for that year and taxed accordingly.
And the Roth withdrawal. The source says tax-free if qualified. That sounds pretty good.
That's the big payoff for the Roth. You paid taxes on the contributions, yes, but then all the growth, all the earnings over potentially decades comes out completely tax-free in retirement, assuming the withdrawals are qualified.
Qualified meaning?
Generally, it means you're at least 59 and a half and the account's been open for 5 years. The source just says if qualified, but that's the typical rule. So the contributions and the potentially much larger amount of earnings are yours, free and clear of taxes later.
So traditional tax break now, pay taxes later, Roth pay taxes now, no taxes later on, qualified withdrawals.
That's the fundamental trade-off. The source material also mentions required minimum distributions, RMDs.
Ah, when the IRS says you have to start taking money out.
Right. And the table indicates that RMDs apply to both traditional 401ks and Roth 401ks, starting at age 73, according to the table. That's an important point about Roth 401k specifically.
Okay, so even with a Roth 401k, you eventually have to start taking money out, unlike maybe a Roth IRA. Good distinction.
Yes, though we'll touch on a recent change to that starting age later.
So given these tax differences, who should pick which? The source gives some guidance, right? Mm-hmm. For traditional, it says best for those expecting lower tax bracket in retirement.
Yeah, that's the classic logic. If you're earning a lot now in a high tax bracket, getting the tax deduction today is really valuable. The assumption is you'll be in a lower tax bracket in retirement when you take the money out.
Makes sense. Save taxes when your rate is high, pay them when it's lower.
Exactly.
And for Roth, it says best for those expecting higher tax bracket in retirement.
Right. So if you think your income, or maybe just tax rates in general, will be higher when you retire compared to now,
then it's better to pay the taxes now at your current lower rate and get the withdrawals tax-free later when your rate would have been higher.
Precisely. You lock in that tax-free growth and withdrawal.
The source even mentions maybe not putting all your eggs in one tax basket, like splitting contributions.
It does suggest that as a possibility, if your employer offers both, it's a way to hedge your bets, you know, diversify your tax situation in retirement since predicting future tax rates is tricky. Choosing wisely here is presented as a key part of maximizing your 401k.
Okay, understanding the tax choice is huge. Now let's get really practical. How do you actually maximize the 401k? The sources lay out some steps.
They do. And step one is presented as absolutely crucial.
Which is?
Contribute enough to get full employer match.
The free money we talked about.
Exactly. The sources explain how it usually works. Maybe they match 50 cents for every dollar you put in up to, say, 6% of your salary. Or maybe it's dollar for dollar up to 3 or 4%, whatever it is.
You need to put in enough of your own money to trigger that full match from
them. Yes. Because if you don't, you're just leaving free money on the table. It's like declining a guaranteed 50% or 100% return on that part of your savings right out of the gate.
Yeah, that seems like a no-brainer. Don't turn down free money. What's step two?
Step two is gradually increase contributions. The specific advice is to try and bump up your contribution percentage by 1% each year.
1% doesn't sound like a lot.
That's the beauty of it. The idea is to slowly work your way towards that overall goal. The sources mention that 15% total savings rate, including the match, starting maybe at the match level, then adding 1% a year makes getting to 15% feel achievable.
And the source mentions it's often barely noticeable in your paycheck.
Right. After taxes, a 1% increase usually isn't a huge hit to your take-home pay. But that small, consistent increase year after year, combined with raises and investment growth, it compounds incredibly over time. It's a smart behavioral trick.
Small steps, big impact later. Okay, step three gets into the investment side, which is a big focus for our listener. Choose appropriate investments. This is where it can get confusing, right? All those fun choices.
Definitely. Once the money's in, deciding where it goes is critical for growth. The core idea from the sources is pick a diversified mix, usually stocks and bonds, that fits you specifically, your age and risk tolerance.
Let's break that down. First, assess risk tolerance. What are we talking about here?
Basically, how much stomach do you have for the market going up and down? Stocks tend to offer higher growth potential long term, but they can be volatile short term. Bonds are usually steadier, but with lower expected returns.
So can you handle seeing your balance drop sometimes, trusting it'll recover? Or does that make you want to panic sell?
Exactly. That's your risk tolerance. And the source mentions age being a factor, too.
How does age play into it?
Well, the sources suggest your time horizon matters. If you're young, decades from retirement, you generally have more time to ride out market dips and can afford to take on more risk for potentially higher growth, meaning maybe more stocks.
And as you get older.
As you get closer to needing the money, preserving what you've saved becomes more important. So the sources imply you typically shift towards a more conservative mix, maybe more bonds, less volatility, because you have less time to recover from a big downturn.
Okay, matching risk to your timeline. The sources also mentioned target date funds. What are those?
These are really popular in 401ks. They're designed to be a sort of set it and forget it option.
How do they work?
You pick a fund with a year in its name, like Target 2050, close to when you expect to retire. The fund automatically manages the mix of stocks and bonds for you.
Oh, so it does the adjusting.
Yes. It starts out more aggressive with more stocks when the target date is far away. Then, as you get closer to that date, it automatically shifts to become more conservative, increasing the bond allocation.
So it handles that de-risking process based on age for you. That sounds convenient.
It is. It's a good option for people who don't want to actively manage their investment mix themselves.
Next investment point, diversify. The old don't put all your eggs in one basket rule.
Pretty much. The source mentions a mix of stocks and bonds, implying you shouldn't just invest in one thing. Spread your money across different types of investments, different asset classes, industries, company sizes, maybe even different countries.
Why is that so important?
It reduces your overall risk. If one part of your portfolio takes a hit, other parts might be doing okay, cushioning the blow. It smooths out the returns over time, although it doesn't eliminate risk completely.
Got it. Now, something the source really flags. Review expense ratios. These are fees, right?
Yes, and this is super important. Expense ratios are the annual fees charged by the mutual funds or ETFs within your 401k. It's a percentage of the money you have invested in that fund.
Like 0.5% or something.
You'd be. Some are lower, some are higher. The point the sources make is critical. Lower fees mean more money stays invested and working for you over time.
Even small percentage differences matter.
Hugely. Over 30 or 40 years, that seemingly tiny difference in fees can add up to tens, even hundreds of thousands of dollars that ended up in the fund manager's pocket instead of your retirement account. Compounding works on fees too, but in reverse. Checking and choosing lower cost options is vital.
Okay, check the fees. Good tip. Then there's rebalance annually. What's that about?
Rebalancing is about keeping your investment mix on track. Let's say you decided you wanted 70% stocks and 30% bonds. Well, markets move. If stocks have a great year, suddenly your portfolio might be 75% stocks. Rebalancing just means selling a bit of what did well, the stocks, and buying a bit more of what lagged, the bonds, to get back to your target 70-30 split.
So it keeps your risk level consistent with your plan.
Exactly. It prevents drift and imposes a discipline. You're trimming winners and buying laggards, which can actually enhance returns over time while controlling risk. The source suggests doing this about once a year.
And lastly, for investments, the source notes that many plans offer free consultations with financial advisors.
Yeah, this is a resource worth looking into if it's available. If you're struggling with assessing risk, choosing funds, understanding fees, or how to rebalance, these advisors, often provided through the 401k plan itself, can give personalized help based on your specific plan options.
Okay, that covers investing wisely. Step 4 in maximizing is about protecting that money. Avoid early withdrawals.
The sources are really clear on this. Taking money out before age 59 and a half is generally a bad idea unless you meet a specific hardship exception.
And the penalties are steep if you do it without an exception.
Very. The sources mention a 10% early withdrawal penalty right off the top. Plus, you owe regular income taxes on the entire amount you take out.
Ouch. So a $10,000 withdrawal could easily shrink to less than $7,000 in your pocket after penalties and taxes.
Easily. But the immediate hit isn't even the worst part, according to the sources.
What worse?
The long-term damage. That money is gone from your retirement savings. It stops compounding. You lose not just the amount withdrawn, but all the potential growth it could have generated over the remaining years or decades. It permanently lowers your retirement nest egg.
Interrupting that compounding effect is the real killer long-term.
Absolutely.
And the final step, step 5, circles back to something we discussed. Consider Roth option. If available.
Right. It's listed as a maximizing strategy because choosing the right tax treatment, traditional, Roth, or a mix based on your expected future tax situation, is a key strategic decision for optimizing your after-tax retirement income. Especially if you anticipate higher taxes later, the Roth route can be very powerful.
Okay, so the 5 steps from the sources. Get the match. Increase contributions steadily. Invest appropriately. Risk. Diversification. Fees. Rebalancing. Don't take money out early, and consider the Roth tax treatment.
That's a solid summary of the actionable advice presented.
Now, that point about avoiding early withdrawals and starting early, it all comes back to this idea of compound growth. Let's really emphasize that, because the sources suggest it's the engine driving everything.
It really is. Compound growth or compounding returns.
Yeah.
It's just your money making money, and then that money making more money. It snowballs.
And the longer it snowballs, the bigger it gets, exponentially.
Exactly. Time is the key ingredient.
The source material has that pro tip example comparing 2 savers. That really hits it home, doesn't it?
It's incredibly stark. They compare someone starting at age 25, saving $500 a month, assuming a 7% annual return by age 65.
They'd reach about $1.4 million, according to the source.
$1.4 million. Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Now compare that to someone who waits just 10 years, starts at age 35, saves the exact same $500 a month, gets the exact same 7% return.
What do they end up with at 65?
Only about $650,000.
Wow. Let that sink in. $650,000 versus $1.4 million. That's a difference of what, $750,000?
Roughly, yes. $750,000 difference just from starting 10 years earlier. They saved the same amount each month when they were saving.
But that first person's money had an extra decade to compound.
That extra decade of growth on the early contributions makes an astronomical difference. It hammers home why starting early is so critical and why even small early contributions matter so much. That money has the longest time to work for you.
It totally reframes delaying saving, doesn't it? It's not just putting it off. It's actively costing you potentially huge amounts in lost growth.
Precisely. That example powerfully illustrates the opportunity cost of waiting.
Okay, so we've put money in, invested it, let it compound, hopefully avoided touching it. Now, what about actually using the money? What are the rules for withdrawals, especially later on? The sources break this down by age.
Yeah, knowing the access rules is vital. So before age 59 and a half, as we said, generally no access without exceptions and facing that 10% penalty plus income taxes.
59 and a half is the magic number for penalty-free access.
It is. Between age 59 and a half and age 72, the sources say you can withdraw without penalty. The 10% hit is gone.
But taxes still apply.
Yes, income taxes apply. Withdrawals from traditional 401ks are taxed. Qualified Roth 401k withdrawals, however, would be tax-free in this window.
Okay. Then what happens at age 73, according to the table?
A new rule kicks in. Required minimum distributions, RMDs, begin.
This is the government forcing you to take money out, right? So they can tax it eventually for traditional accounts at least.
That's the main idea, yes. It applies to both traditional and Roth 401ks. Remember, it's a calculated minimum amount based on your balance and life expectancy you must withdraw each year.
And if you don't take the RMD, the source mentions a pretty harsh penalty.
Extremely harsh. A 50% penalty if RMD not taken on the amount you should have withdrawn but didn't. They really want you to take that money out.
50%. Okay, definitely don't miss your RMDs. Uh-huh. Now, didn't the source have a note about that starting age changing that Did You Know box?
Ah, yes. Good catch. It mentions the SECURE Act 2.0. This legislation actually increased the RMD starting age. It moved from 72 to 73 starting in 2023.
So people turning 73 last year or this year start then?
Correct. And the act pushes it back even further down the road. The source says it will increase to 75 in 2033.
So eventually people won't have to start RMDs until age 75. That's quite a delay.
It is. It gives your savings more time to potentially grow tax deferred or tax free before those mandatory withdrawals kick in. A bit more breathing room and later retirement planning.
That's a significant change. The source has also briefly compared taking a 401k loan versus a withdrawal for people considering tapping funds early. What did that comparison show?
It laid out the mechanics, but yeah, implicitly highlights the drawbacks of both. For the maximum amount, a loan is typically capped at 50% of your balance or $50,000, whichever's less. Withdrawals, well, the amount varies.
And the big difference is repayment, right? Loans have to be paid back.
Yes, typically within 5 years, often through payroll deductions. Withdrawals are permanent, no repayment.
What about taxes and penalties? This seems key.
For a loan, the source says none if repaid on time. That's the catch. If you repay it fully and on schedule, no immediate tax hit or penalty. But fail to repay, maybe because you lose your job.
Then it becomes like a withdrawal with the taxes and penalty.
Often, yes. Whereas a withdrawal usually faces that 10% penalty in income tax right away, unless an exception applies.
And the long-term impact. Neither sounds great for retirement.
No. The loan money is out of the market while you're repaying it, so it misses any potential investment growth. A withdrawal is just a permanent reduction. That money's gone forever. The comparison really underscores that both options hurt your long-term savings goals compared to leaving it invested.
Okay. We have covered a ton of ground here, drawing from these sources, from the basics, the traditional versus Roth decision, the steps to maximize contributions and investments, the sheer power of compounding, and the rules for getting money out. Let's try to wrap this up, distilling the core advice for choosing wisely based on all this material.
Sounds good. If we boil down what these sources are telling us for making smart 401k decisions, a few key themes emerge. First, absolutely, start early. That compounding example makes it crystal clear. Time is invaluable.
Couldn't agree more. Second, get that free money. Don't leave any employer match dollars unclaimed. Contribute enough to max it out.
Third, think hard about taxes your situation now versus what you expect in retirement. That drives the traditional versus Roth choice, which is a major strategic decision for your future income.
Fourth, commit to saving more over time. That 1% annual increase strategy is simple but powerful. Aim for that 15% total savings rate. Small, steady steps win the race.
Fifth, be smart about how your money is invested. Understand your risk tolerance, diversify properly, maybe use target date funds if they suit you. And critically, watch those fees, choose low-cost options, rebalance regularly, and use plan advisors if you need help.
And the final big piece of advice, protect that nest egg. Resist taking loans or early withdrawals. The short-term fix causes long-term pain due to penalties and lost growth.
Exactly. And remember, the sources mentioned tools like calculators that can help you visualize the impact of these choices, even if they're just projections.
So this deep dive, using your source material, really gives you a roadmap, doesn't it? Understanding the 401k, the Roth option, how to contribute, how to invest, the impact of time. It equips you to make better, more confident choices for your own financial future.
It does. Focusing on these principles from the sources, tax advantages, employer match, smart investing, letting time and compounding work really puts you in a stronger position down the road.
So as we finish up, here's a final thought, really inspired by that striking compound growth example we discussed. We've seen from the material that small, consistent actions today, like getting the full match or bumping your saving rate by just 1% or simply having started a bit earlier, can lead to vastly different results decades later, life-altering differences potentially.
Mm-hmm.
So the question for you is, thinking about everything we've unpacked from these sources, what's one small doable step you could take, maybe even today, to start building towards that bigger future illustrated in that compounding example.
Maybe it's as simple as logging into your account to check your current contribution rate, or see if you have a Roth option. Maybe it's looking up the expense ratios on your funds, or maybe it's finding the number to call that plan advisor.
That one small action today could genuinely be the seed for that massive difference later on.
It really could.
Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into your sources, navigating the world of 401ks, Roth options, and smart investment strategies within them.
We hope this discussion has given you some clarity and the confidence to take the next step towards your financial goals.